B-Pod Studios.
Comic books, anime, video games, sci-fi. If you've been made fun of for it, we're probably going to talk about it.
Everyone pretend podcasting isn't boring.
This is Nerd Radio.
Good evening. I'm Dr. Emmett Brown. I'm standing on the parking lot at Twin Pines Mall. And this is Temporal Experiment Number 1.
And we're back with another episode of Nerd Radio, wherever you're getting your podcast, as part of the B-Pod Studios Network and all over the internets and your social media at Nerd Radio 101. I'm your host, Chuck Bean, joined by my joyous co-host, James.
Hooray!
And Mr. Elbeck.
Not so joyous.
I knew you were going to drop the ball. That's why I threw it to James first.
That's what threw me off, because I was like, if he's going to send it over to Al, yeah, and Al's going to poo-poo on the joyousness,
yes, yeah,
and then it's going to leave me in an awkward spot.
Right.
And he went over to me. It was good. It was a good little audible you called there.
Yeah, mm-hmm, absolutely.
Unless it was all in plans.
I knew that I could depend on not being able to depend on Al Beck.
Yes.
So there we go.
When you're looking for undependability, Al is dependable.
The most dependable disappointment, yeah, you'll ever meet.
So, of course, this show is called Nerd Radio, which means we're going to talk about a whole bunch of nerd stuff, some pro wrestling, some streaming stuff. We are, of course, a couple of days. When you download this, you are about less than 24 hours away from Halloween.
Ooh.
But this comes out on the first day of Baby Yoda, the Mandalorian.
Yes. Yeah.
Which
the
is this week
back
as well.
Town.
Yep.
I like that.
The baby's back in town. That's nice. And that's pretty much the big news. So let's start off there. How excited are you guys for a second season of The Mandalorian?
I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it. I've burned through the boys, so I don't usually have a Saturday morning,
sure,
like show to wake up early and watch anymore. Cause, yeah, you know, I've went through the boys, so now The Mandalorian will fill that void, unless by some miracle my fiance is not home when I get off my Friday stream and go watch it then. Because usually I'd watch The Mandalorian, and then she's usually coming home from work. We're getting dinner and, you know, then we're starting our weekend. But
that was my question, is that it's not a show that she's interested in watching as well?
Not in the slightest.
Really?
Bit. Yeah.
She's interesting.
Not, for some reason, the Star Wars universe.
That's
she's
funny.
Like,
I thought she would at least have a little bit of an interest in that.
No, but she's like, Battlestar Galactica, you should watch this, James.
Like, really?
Yeah. And she'll be like, Firefly was really good. I'm like, all this stuff that I'm like, not really that into, or
yeah,
not super ecstatic to like check out.
Right.
But then Star Wars, she's like, no thanks. I'll watch The Vampire Diaries instead. I'm like, Kmart brand Twilight? Really? That's what you're going to watch?
Kmart Twilight.
Do you think she poo-poos your Star Wars stuff out of bitterness because you aren't into Firefly or Battlestar Galactica?
No, I just think that's... Honestly, I think she's just not into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Firefly is only, what, 14 episodes in a movie?
Yeah, it's like one season, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Half a season. It got canceled, yeah, at the mid-season break.
But I saw somebody post a meme that says, how do you know Mandalorian is better than Firefly? Because there's a season two.
Oh.
Burn.
Damn.
Yeah, that was harsh. What about you, Al? You looking forward to the Baby Yoda return?
I am. I don't necessarily know that I'm going to get to it immediately.
Right.
I've kind of got... I think Discovery's taking precedence over Mandalorian.
Right.
So that's my Saturday morning watch, is the new episode of Discovery.
That just started too, didn't it?
Yeah, it's only two episodes in. Well, I guess when this podcast drops, the third one will be out. It's a Thursday show. So.
Sure.
So far, so good. I mean, yeah, it's, you know, they finally are in the future now, which has been my biggest complaint about Discovery is, well, really Star Trek in general, after since Voyager wrapped up, Star Trek's done nothing but go backwards, which to me has always felt like, you know, it's gone against what Star Trek is, which is looking forwards.
Well, and it always feels a little anachronistic. I don't know. It always feels a little strange that the technology gets better, but they keep going backwards in the timeline.
Well, you know, there's parts of that I can forgive. There's parts of it that annoy me. Like, if the ship looks a little bit prettier than the one that was over 50 years ago, like, I don't expect you to make it look like 60s sci-fi.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I don't, if as long as you don't address it, like, I'm even fine. I would prefer that they don't have hologram communications, mm-hmm, because you've never seen that in Star Trek before. But as long as you don't address it, I guess it's like, don't like it, but fine. You know, although Captain Pike gets back on the Enterprise like, you know what? I don't like it. It's creepy. Have it ripped out of the Enterprise and never installed again. Okay, cool. Thanks for the retcon there, dicks. But
he's the old man that doesn't like technology,
right?
So he's like, get it out of here.
But things like the spore drive, I mean, there's so many things that would have been so much cooler if the show from the beginning had just been taking place in the future. Sure. You know what I mean? So I still have a problem with that because the ship is the way it is. And
so you
it
got
came
problems
from the
with
past.
The spore drive, is what you're saying.
That's my biggest thing because you never hear about it again.
The spore drive issues.
Yes, the spore, yes.
Damn spore drive.
But now there are past, you know, Voyager and Picard, all that stuff is, it's like the year 3000 now
right.
that they're in. And it's a little bit of a dystopian future where the Federation is now like an underground thing. After the Great Burn, they called it, or whatever. So it's really, it's kind of cool. The first episode focused on Michael Burnham showing up in the future, and the second was like the rest of the ship, the rest of the Discovery ship showing up. So kind of bring them together. So
interesting.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy so far with the first two episodes. Like I said, it's I'm definitely excited for Mandalorian, that's but
like,
that's
like nerd heaven too. Like yeah. every week now, you get a new Star Wars and a new Star Trek.
I know.
Ooh, you're double dipping now.
I know. Which is, I know.
Absolutely fantastic.
Sad times when
I'm
those
seeing
shows
stars. Yeah. It was so bad it had to be done. I had to.
I
was like kind of hoping maybe Chuck would make me leave. I could just go home.
No. We established last week I'm not rewarding your bad behavior anymore. Yeah. It's not happening.
Yeah, but I got to tell you, the boys also, like, I haven't gotten to that too because, you know, on my pilgrimage here, I'm in the home stretch of Voyager. So I'm like, I was going to watch the boys this week and I was like, I got to get through Voyager first. So like,
sure.
That might even happen before Mandalorian. I don't know. We'll see.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, they're making a huge push to make sure that we know about the Mandalorian. You know those texts and, you know, you can't open your social media these days without them asking you if you're registered to vote?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Every single day, Disney Plus sends me a push notification to let me know. 3 days till the Mandalorian.
Wow.
4 days till the Mandalorian. Five days till the Mandalorian. I'm like, I know. Like I'm very aware. Thank you.
Like, I got my Baby Yoda countdown already on my wall right here. It's like rings you'd make, you know, for the countdown to Christmas.
I hate that so much, man. So, almost none of my apps actually have
push notifications.
Yeah, because it drives me nuts. Because some of the stuff that they want to tell you about, I don't care.
Yeah.
I do not care. But
I'm with you.
I do like the countdown, though. We need to get like a Baby Yoda advent calendar.
Yeah. You pop it open, and every time you get like a little Baby Yoda snack, like a bug.
You get a frog.
Yeah,
a frog. Every time you open the little door, a frog hops out, and you have to chase it.
Yeah, the last one's a little bowl of soup.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
I wonder what flavor.
Can't imagine soup in the Star Wars universe smells or tastes very good at all.
Well, they don't seem to mind it.
No, but they don't have anything else to compare it to.
Well, that's true. Then I show up in the galaxy with a can of Campbell's condensed, you know, cream of chicken.
We show up with
slurp on this Baby Yoda.
We show up with pizza and Taco Bell, and they're like, "What is this joyousness?"
They're like, "Wow, a long time ago, galaxy far away. We going to your hometown,
right?"
I'm like, "Come on, Han Solo, let's go."
Well, a Reddit user overseas took a screenshot of the Season 2 Episode 1 preview and shows that the episode's runtime is going to be 52 minutes. So that first one's going to be a pretty large one. That's one of the things I like about the streaming shows is that there's no, hey, it's got to be exactly this much like it was when it's on broadcast.
Yeah, they're not constrained by the boundaries of other programming having come into play or commercials.
Yeah, like if it runs like, you know, an hour and 6 minutes, and it's like, that's fine. It's a streaming show.
Yeah.
It's not like you're taking up time on the schedule or anything like that.
Yeah, it'll change episode to episode sometimes for some of the shows.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, like that Twilight Zone show that's on CBS. I think the first episode is about an hour, and then the second episode is like a half an hour.
Right.
Wow. That's that's a huge difference.
Yeah.
I mean, at least all the Mandalorian stuff is usually within the 45-minute to 1 hour range.
Yeah.
What I like about that drastic difference in time, though, is like just use the amount of time you need to tell that story.
Yeah, don't drag it out.
Extra stuff. Yeah. You don't miss out on stuff, you know.
You don't have to pull anything that you think is valid. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, one of the ways that they're making sure that we all get our Baby Yoda fix is in Star Wars Squadrons, they're going to be giving Baby Yoda baubles that you can buy.
I saw a little headline for that. So it's like a little
bobblehead that's on your cockpit.
Yeah.
So that's a
little Baby Yoda on your cockpit, pal.
They say that you can start earning those.
Now you're talking my language.
October 28th. So that's the day that we're recording. Actually.
Oh, so I could go buy the game and download. How much is the little Baby Yoda dashboard accessory going for? And
It says you can also get models of the Razor Crest and IG-11, which is the self-destructing droid from the first one, and a bounty puck that you can put in your ship's cabin. But they can be earned in game starting October 28th. So
I'd rather earn them.
Yeah, you don't even have to...
unless it's like get 100 victories in dogfights. I'm like, I'm not going to be able to get 100 victories in a spaceship. I can barely drive my car. Yeah,
that's what I'm wondering when I finally get around to picking it up and playing it is like, how often am I going to crash that ship?
Yeah, because I don't... You're just going to see me get roasted every time behind the wheel, get behind the joystick of that X-Wing and crash right into a moon.
And Hasbro, who owns the rights to making Star Wars stuff, as well as Transformers, also...
Keep it moving.
Also say releasing on Mando Monday, this past Monday, that they're doing, you can get a case of classic Mandalorian figures, Star Wars figures. So they've only got like the shoulders and the hip joints and the neck joints, the five.
So they've remade like the old school like Star Wars action figures. But
old school action figures of characters from the Mandalorian. Like Mando comes with one of those vinyl capes.
Really?
Oh, that's cool. That the old ones had too. And what is the guy who played Gus in Breaking Bad? What was his character? Moff Gideon.
Oh, yeah.
His character, of course, comes with a vinyl cape. So those are kind of cool. A little pricey from what I was seeing.
How much is
going to
set me back?
Oof. If you want to order a case, it's $83.99. And a case comes with one of the child, one of Moff Gideon, one of IG-11, two of the Mandalorian, one of Cara Dune, and one of Cool, the little tiny guy, says, I have spoken.
Oh, okay.
And then one of Greef Karga.
The
which
one that Nick Nolte voices.
Yes. And Greef Karga is the black guy.
Dude, so you're looking at like 7 or 8 action figures, right?
Yeah, something
for 80
like
bucks,
that.
You know, $9, $9 a figure, $10 a figure, whatever. That's not actually that bad.
It's
just unfortunate you have to buy the entire set.
A little over $10 a figure.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you're looking for, it's part of the Star Wars Retro Collection, so it comes on the backings that look like the classic
cool.
80s.
I like that stuff. It gives
Star
you a
Wars figures.
Nostalgia hit.
Yeah, yeah. It's very. They're actually. I'm gonna say this real fast, real quick. But they're re-releasing some Transformers with boxes.
Okay,
that look
come
like
on,
the
come on,
ones.
Come on, come on.
And it's cool.
Yeah,
come on.
So yeah, we're ready for the Mandalorian. But something that I actually wanted to, while we're talking to streaming services, so Zack Snyder's Justice League.
The
Snyder Cut that's coming up. And apparently Jared Leto is coming back.
Yay.
To be the Joker in this.
Right.
I like it.
Who asked for that?
I did. I want to see the Joker in there. I like Jared Leto.
Yeah, I'd love to see the Joker in there. But
I like that version of the Joker. He's like a gangster-ass mofo. He's got a grill. Like, he's like what I would picture like a modern-day like gangster.
Right.
Turned... supervillain, whatever you want to refer to him as.
I just, it's supposed to be like a director's
cut. I like
the
hand tattoo for his laughs. I think there's a lot of cool stuff about the Jared Leto Joker.
So it's the Snyder cut. So it's supposed to be essentially like a director's cut. Like this is the one.
This is what he would have done had he not had to get pulled away from whatever he had to deal with, right?
But like they have to reshoot so much of it. Like why don't you just
are getting paid?
They don't call Final Fantasy VII Remake the director's cut. It's a remake. We're just. This is the one that we wanted to make. Like that's what this feels like.
Yeah, but I don't feel like the original creator of Final Fantasy VII was like, I'm going to make this game and start making this game and start making this game. And oh my god, I have real life stuff I got to go deal with here.
Yeah,
you take it, this other video game person, and then you finish it off, and then I'm going to go do this stuff. And then you find out, what have you done to my masterpiece?
Sure,
you've destroyed it.
I am interested to see it, including the Jared Leto Joker thing. I do like Jared Leto a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I really do as an actor and everything. But I'm more along the lines with Chuck where it's like, who needed this? I also see where James is coming from. And I have heard, and I think even Jared himself has said stuff like the Joker didn't really get to be fleshed out the way it was supposed to in Suicide Squad.
Suicide Squad, you saw him for about 4 seconds. You know?
Right. So I wasn't crazy about it, but again, it's an actor that I really like, and it does seem like there's more there that we just didn't get to experience. So I would like to see it. I am kind of excited to see more of it. I don't know.
Well, he's no Nicolas Cage.
Well, let's see if Nicolas Cage is a Joker. I'd watch that, too. I'd tune in for that one.
There could be only one, Nicolas Cage.
So somebody over on Cameo had, you know, you can get different celebrities to record a message for you or something like that. Somebody paid Ice Cube to record a video asking for the Schumacher cut of Batman Forever.
Oh, that's oh, how that yeah. came to.
Okay, okay, yeah. I saw the headline, but I didn't actually see the story.
Yeah, same here. I was like, why does Ice Cube care?
Right. Of all people. Like, why is Ice Cube? Like, he's a real huge fan of the, Val
the
Kilmer.
Bat nipples? He wants the bat suit nipples?
He's a real big fan of the Val Kilmer Batman.
Yeah, or did he audition for a role and didn't get it? Or maybe he was in it and then he didn't make the cut?
But yeah, his quote was, the people want the Batman Forever director's cut release. That's it. Release the director's cut. Release the Schumacher cut. People want more Val Kilmer.
That's funny.
I love the idea of the guy who paid for that, and then that coming across Ice Cube's computer. He's like, yeah, I'm doing this. Yeah.
He's like, cool. That's a quick and easy, I don't know, $200, $300, $500. How much,
right.
How much does Ice Cube charge for a cameo?
I love that. Everything about that story.
Maybe I'm bitter because I don't have a couple hundred thousand nerds to bully a streaming service into making a good version of X-Men Apocalypse.
Mm, yeah.
Because that would be, or Dark Phoenix. Can you make me a good Dark Phoenix movie? But yeah, I guess.
Well, you can find a celebrity. Who's in your budget that you can pay on Cameo? No, but let's look him up. Let's look him up.
Al Beck's not even in my budget.
Let's say you have a budget. I will kick in $100.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
I'll give you $100. Well. Yeah. To find a celebrity on Cameo.
All right.
Let's go through the list of Cameo people and
sure.
see who we could pay
who we could
to
pay.
Demand somebody makes a Dark Phoenix film
yeah.
that you will enjoy.
All right.
Let's see who we can get.
We'll have to look through that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to come back with some more nerd stuff. While we're talking about Joker, there's the Three Jokers comic. The final issue came out this week. I'll give you guys a little preview of that. And The Last Ronin, Ninja Turtles.
Ooh.
Is released this week, and there's a reason why you're not going to be able to find one until the second printing comes out. That's next
man.
On Nerd Radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I'm Tom Savage, listening to Nerd Radio on Rip 2.
We're back with more Nerd Radio, wherever you get your podcast, as part of the B-Pod Studios Network. And thanks to my co-host, Al Beck, you can find us at one easy-to-find place on the internet.
That's right, nerdradio101.com to download the podcast.
Yep, and as you may have heard in that particular thing, you can find us on Riff 2, Wednesday nights at 10 p.m., 101.1 FM HD2 in the Motor City. James, Al Beck here for some more Nerd Radio. And typically, I leave the comics until the very end of the show, but this week is actually a really huge week in comics, so I wanted to kind of share with you guys
week in comics!
The first thing I wanted to share with you guys is that we're at the final issue of the Three Jokers.
It was the final one, huh?
Three Jokers number one, finding out...
it was a three-issue miniseries, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. And this is Jeff Johns' sequel to The Killing Joke, if you will.
Uh-oh, he dropped like a Joker card.
What are you snickering about?
I was just, well, from the last segment, I was on cameo.com trying to find someone for us.
I thought that was going to turn into a great bit, but I guess we pulled the plug on it.
Yeah, well, I didn't get to it quick enough, but I think I found the guy.
All right, well, let's pause what I'm talking about.
If we can muster together $88, we can get not Tom Cruise, the Tom Cruise impersonator.
Like the one from our local area?
I don't know. It just
I wanted
it's
to
a
introduce
YouTube guy.
Himself as not Tom Cruise.
Not Tom Cruise.
Yeah, but that's always listening.
$88, huh?
$88 for not Tom Cruise.
Look at that.
Which is more expensive than Mick Foley. I saw Mick Foley's on here for $75.
Mick Foley's
like $75.
Big E is pretty expensive.
Yeah, I know. I heard he's pulling in a big chunk of cash doing his cameos.
Oh yeah, he could quit. Much like the whole thing with the Twitch stream and the WWE, yeah. Like guys like Xavier Woods could just quit wrestling, or Paige could just quit wrestling and be on Twitch.
Oh yeah,
I'm pretty sure Big E could just be
speaking
on Cameo.
Speaking of WWE and Twitch, you know they have an official channel now.
They do.
Yeah, they do have an official channel on Twitch. So
yep,
I have a feeling that has something to do with all the issues with their talents being on there.
Yeah, I'm sure.
They've seen the gold mine.
This segment went completely off the rails. I'm like, I'm going to talk about comic books in the middle of the show. And then like, no, wait.
Oh,
like,
just,
back to the comics. Yeah. As you were.
Yeah, I was just scrolling and...
Came across Not Tom Cruise.
It made me laugh. So, sorry. I didn't mean to bring
Can
it back.
Can you find how much his not Nicolas Cage to do in?
Yeah, is there a Nicolas Cage in there?
Is there a not Nicolas Cage not available? Nicolas Cage.
Don't know.
I could be on there as not Nicolas Cage. I'll just
you probably could, yeah.
Give everybody the stare. So yeah, Three Jokers came out. It's the final issue. You kind of get to we pair from three Jokers down to one, and you find out who they're trying to make into the next Joker in this particular
book. Whole storyline. They're trying to find the next Joker.
Yeah, the first
America's Got Talent, but we're looking for Jokers.
America's Got Jokes.
America's Got Jokes. Gotham's Got Jokes. You got jokes.
Gotham's Got Jokes. There we go.
And here's your host, Clayface.
But yeah, without spoiling too much of it, it's definitely a better ending than Doomsday Clock was, which was the Watchmen DC thing, the last thing that Geoff Johns did.
Okay.
But it feels like it's set up for a sequel, and if there's a sequel, I'm not interested.
No, you're out, huh?
No.
Ooh, they turned you off.
Nah, I don't really need more of this, but this miniseries in itself was kind of interesting. You get somewhat of an explanation of how and why there's been three Jokers. It doesn't like nail down the timeline of like every time they've seen the Joker, you know, this time it was this guy and this time it was this guy, but it does give you a general feeling of like, okay, when he was really psychotic, then it was this version of the Joker. But when he was just like poisoning fish back in the 50s, it was this guy.
Okay.
Kind of thing.
Okay.
And that's interesting to see. The other book that is huge in the comic book stores this week is the first issue of The Last Ronin. This is the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles miniseries that Kevin Eastman told me and James about back at Astronomicon, that is supposed to be kind of a Dark Knight Returns for Ninja Turtles. Yeah. There is one turtle left in a far future, and he's trying to kill
Raphael. I think I saw an R on the back of the
That's for Ronin.
Oh.
But no, I had the same thing. I was like, man.
The Last Ronin is Raphael.
And
he's cool but rude.
Right. That's kind of the mystery of this first issue is who is the final turtle?
Who is the Last Ronin?
And you do find out at the end of this issue, which is pretty cool. I won't spoil it for you. You want to take a look at it?
Yeah, I'll flip through. Right to the end, just like Choose Your Own Adventure.
Absolutely. But yeah, the Last Turtle in a far-flung future is trying to kill the grandson of the Shredder. Who runs
Who banged Shredder? Come on.
He's wearing that mask. He might look really handsome under there.
Shredder? This was before COVID times. Now he might look like a sex pot, but come on. Who's banging Shredder? He's all full of razor blades on his shoulders and stuff. There's no way. Like, how can he get intimate with Shredder?
Some ladies are into that kind of thing, man.
Oh, that's true. But I feel like if you're going to bang Shredder, you make him wrap it up. Come on. You know, no cream pies.
Wrap it up, Shredder.
No cream pies from Shredder.
Do you think he's got razor blades on his dong?
I don't know. He has a cod piece, so I don't think he has to put any razor blades on his dong per se. But
it might be a secret ninja ability.
I just find it hard to believe that somebody's banging the Shredder, and then they have a kid as well, and then they let them know that, hey, your grandpa's Shredder. Don't you keep that a family secret? You don't spill the beans on Shredder being your grandpa.
Unless you're proud of your grandpa.
Ooh, April O'Neil did not age well.
No. Yeah.
My mind's still just stuck in that cod piece. That's not going to smell good, guys.
Shredder's cod piece? Yeah. I mean, he hangs out in a technodrome with a brain, alien brain in the belly.
Well, in the back of the book, which is kind of cool, it's a thing that IDW tends to do. They give you the art for all the variant covers. There are, if I'm remembering correctly, 25 variant covers for this particular book. So you're going to have a hard time collecting them all because of that and because the orders IDW had to short around 130,000 of the book than they expected to print for this very first printing. And it shot the price of it up to $50 on the day released.
Why did it have to short?
According to what they were, what they said online, the set print qualities in advance of the FOC, which is the final cutoff date when people could say, okay, this is how many I want the stores. Because of the book's a little bit larger than your average comic book. It's like Golden Age size.
Gotcha. Okay.
They couldn't print as many of them as quickly as they can of regular books. You can kind of see with a regular book.
Yeah, I can see
how it's a little bit larger. By the time they got to when the final cut was, they had one number, and then a whole bunch of people surged the number and was like, no, we need more of these. And they're like, we only printed that first number. So what they're going to do is they're rushing to a second printing, which will be out December 1st.
So you're going to have a little gold mine on your hands right there.
Kind of. It depends. I mean, by the time the second printing hits or whatever. I don't know, James, is this something you were interested in, wasn't it?
I think it's cool, yeah. I mean, I've already seen the end, so I know which turtle it is. Do I want it?
Yeah.
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're one of my In-N-Out comics friends, and I'm always happy to hook up a comics friend. I try and get you
hooked. I'm the In-N-Out friend he likes hooking up with. Like took it up with me on the In-N-Out. I would read through it and then it would just sit on a shelf and not really have any. Like,
well, you can borrow it if you wanted to look through it. Did you see who it was?
I was going
to
say that was my question: is did you peek at the end?
I did. Shocked.
Yeah.
Really
shocked as to who it was.
That's
not
cool.
Who I would have picked. Not who I would have expected either.
I was wondering. See,
well, I don't want to be the only one in the room who doesn't know. Yeah. Pass it over here.
All right, here you go. Yeah, because I don't want to spoil it for you guys because it just came out.
Shocking. Just because the weapons, you know?
Right.
You know, I didn't realize he knew how to use all those weapons.
Yeah. No, I'm not surprised because in the original Eastman and Laird books, I had the role-playing game, the tabletop role-playing game books for those. So they had the stats on everybody. And one of that particular turtle's specific stats is that he's ambidextrous.
Okay.
Because all of them use two weapons, but the reason he can use the two weapons he does is because he's ambidextrous. He's just as good with both hands. So I'm like,
gotcha. Yeah,
naturally he would probably pick up on how to use everything.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
Yeah, but we'll talk more about that
as the story as the plot thickens.
Yeah, so it's a cool book, and the one thing I really appreciate about it too, as I'm looking through it, is you can tell that Kevin Eastman did the layouts. Like, I'm a little upset that it's not just his art.
Mm-hmm.
I would really like it if it was just him and Peter Laird maybe inking it. The artist does a fine job. It's just not the guy that. You know, I originally did the turtle.
I gotcha.
So I would enjoy that a little bit more. But you can tell from the way the pages are laid out, it's like, oh, yeah, this is Kevin Eastman.
So you got a little bit of that old school TMNT feel.
100%. 100%. Like I said, I'm looking through the way the pages are laid out. I'm like, oh, this feels like the original Ninja Turtles comics.
That's cool.
So if you can find one, it's absolutely worth it. But if you can't, don't worry. They are making more of them, and they're going to be coming out December 2nd, the Last Ronin. I got a question for you guys. We were talking about the Joker.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the Joker's favorite television show is?
The Joker's favorite television
show. What would you think the Joker's...
Is this a riddle, or are you asking us a real question? Like, you're not going to hit us with a dad joke, are you?
No, not at all. Not at all. There was actually... It's in canon in a comic that came out a couple weeks ago.
Oh, is it?
Okay.
It is. It's not Robert De Niro hosting...
It certainly is not.
It's probably The View or something like that.
You think so?
Yeah.
Well, according to the Batman Adventures Continues, which is a book that's coming out...
My Little Pony.
It is not My Little Pony. The Batman Adventures Continues number 13 reveals in a panel that the Joker is a big Family Guy fan.
Really?
Yeah.
He likes that Seth MacFarlane, huh?
He said something in one of the panels saying, this is better than those fights on Family Guy.
Wow.
So there you go. Who'd have known?
Joker watches Family Guy. If I was Seth MacFarlane, I would put that in one of my cartoons.
Yeah, much like South Park, he seems like he's got real quick turnaround on in the cartoon.
Put the Joker watching an episode of something to make fun of yourself, but also make fun of the Joker. There you go, Seth MacFarlane. There's a freebie from James.
It's one thing when you give him a freebie. It's a whole other thing when Adam Sandler just looks at your tweets.
That's all. Yeah, just steals my ideas. I was just going to say, just James, tweet that idea out. Adam Sandler will see it and let Seth know.
Yes, that's what I'm going to do.
Right,
that.
There you go.
Adam Sandler's my middleman to communicate with Seth MacFarlane.
All right. Well,
it would be hilarious, though, if more of your ideas were taken by Adam Sandler.
That would be odd. I would be so upset.
The first time I'm like, that's coincidence. By like the third one, I'd be like, you're right. Adam Sandler is following James.
Yeah.
Jimmy Death Nuts shows up in one of his movies.
Yeah, but what? How does he know Jimmy's phone number? How does he even know how to reach him on the battle realm of Hunk and Dwarf? How does he know how to reach them in there? This is wild. I thought I was the only one who knew how to make contact with Jimmy Davis. Yeah.
Well, I do got some video game news for you, but before we move on from the comics, I've got...
It just sounds like a bat signal, but it's a set of nuts hanging up in the sky.
Yeah.
Like,
how do you find the nut signal?
The nut signal. There's so much hair.
He sent him the nutstagram.
Oh, God, gross.
I mean, it grows there, you know? I mean, Jimmy likes authenticity.
Oh, man.
That's what that grooming stuff is for that we advertise.
Well, Jimmy does not get the Manscaped. That's my department. I'm the one that messes with the Manscaped kits. Jimmy's like, what's a Manscaped kit?
So much hair.
Anyway, you were saying, Chuck.
You're awful. You're a terrible person, and you should feel bad about yourself.
Well, plus, everybody knows an interdimensional like warrior doesn't shave his nuts, okay? That's just common
Maybe
knowledge.
He does.
Yeah.
Maybe that's how you get really good with your axe.
Maybe.
Hey.
So we've talked a lot about different people that we do not appreciate in comic books. You know, Grant Morrison, Rob Liefeld, that kind of thing. I don't think this name has ever come up, and I'm curious what your take on it is, Al. Peter David. Where do you stand on Peter David?
Peter David?
Yeah.
Give us a background. What's Peter David known for? What
Peter
has he
David
done?
Is known for an extremely long run on the Incredible Hulk back in the 90s.
So down with the Hulkster.
He created the Maestro, which is the Hulk from the future that has defeated all the superheroes. He worked on X-Factor for quite a few years over at Marvel. He's done some work over at DC, but mostly been a Marvel guy. Do you have an opinion on Peter David, Albeck?
I do not.
All right.
Have you read any of his work?
No, I honestly, off the top of my head, I can't think of anything that I've read of his. So,
well, there was an interview.
And if he's mostly known for Hulk, Hulk's not really my thing.
Sure.
So.
Al doesn't have to read about the Hulk because he works with one in the office next to him during the weekday mornings.
Well, there was an interview with Previews World that Peter David did. I believe this is somewhat an older interview, but he did Hulk for about 12 years.
Wow.
And
it's a long run.
He revealed that the reason that he even started on the Hulk is because Marvel's editor-in-chief at the time couldn't find anyone else that wanted to write Hulk.
Oh, so, well, nobody else wants to write it, so you can have it for 12 years.
He said at the time there was hostility towards his writing from the editorial department because he worked in direct sales, and they felt that someone in direct sales had no business being on the creative side. Mm. So, and nobody wanted to write Hulk, so they just stuck him with it, and he made it. Fantastic. Made it a
I wouldn't mind
deal.
That as a challenge. I think I could write some Hulk episodes.
You
but
think
mine
so?
Would be about like the Hulk would get angry at a video game. The Hulk would get angry because the garbage pickup didn't come properly.
Sure.
You know, so Bruce Banner's flipping out over stupid things. I'd make Hulk into a Karen.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Essentially what the Hulk would be. What, Chipotle? I ordered it online 20 minutes ago. You said it'd be ready. And it's not. You're going to make me angry. And then, you know, the Hulk smashes up a Chipotle. So... My Hulk would be much different.
That's what I was going to say. Like, what's the resolution to that story? He gets angry and he smashes stuff and then like...
And then nobody gets burritos.
Moves on to the next thing.
Yeah, then he goes to Taco Bell.
Like, eventually people are... Yeah. Like, the whole population that's not already angry at him is going to be angry because he's ruining the fast food places.
Yeah, the Hulk will destroy Chipotle and then you'll find a naked Bruce Banner in the parking lot of a Taco Bell covered in cheesy Gordita Crunch wrappers. That end scene.
That's how every... issue ends.
Yeah. Like, why does he keep going to Chipotle and then going to Taco Bell instead? No, I'm like, because he goes to Chipotle because his fiance wants a burrito bowl instead of Taco Bell food.
We suddenly discover that the Hulk's weakness is Taco Bell. It's what calms him
well,
down.
Well, I like specifically it's the cheesy gordita crunch. Every time he wakes up, he's covered in
cheesy gordita crunch.
Maybe if he tried something different, maybe he wouldn't always pass out in the Taco Bell parking lot. No, it's always going to be a cheesy gordita crunch.
It's going to be cheesy.
The only thing on the menu worth the $4.
It wasn't gamma radiation. It was zesty ranch.
Oh, yeah. Zesty Ranch with a Zesty Ranch.
I think they should let James write the Hulk, if not for a one shot, at least for a 3-6 issue run.
I would love that.
I think that would be hilarious.
I think it
would
be fun. I mean, to be honest, I had a bit of a hand in writing back when we used to have the Riff Rock Girl here in Detroit.
Yes.
Yeah.
I helped write. I kind of created the plot outline of two Riff Rock Girl storylines.
Yeah.
So I would love to be involved in something like that.
Yeah, and that was pretty fun. All right, well, let's take a short break. I do have some video game news to get to, as well as something coming to Fall Guys that I think we'll both be very interested in.
Hopefully an easy mode so I can win a match instead of getting smoked in the first round every time.
And a game that some people were looking forward to very much has been delayed until December, and we'll talk about that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
You're a talking turtle.
And you're a human nerd. Now get it.
We're back with more Nerd Radio.
Run for your life.
Hey, man, look at me rocking out. I'm on the radio.
It's everything that rocks on one of those. Once a day, once a show, I've got to F that up. Welcome back to Nerd Radio. Thanks for downloading the podcast wherever you're getting it, part of the B-Pod Studios Network. And follow us on social media. We're on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. We're on YouTube at Nerd Radio 101. Also, on Wednesday afternoons, you can find us making Nerd Radio on the Checkpoint XP Twitch stream. Where's that, James?
Yeah, that's over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp.
Yeah. Yeah. So did you guys see the Moon Knight news?
No.
Moon Knight is coming to
Disney.
Before
we go to Moon Knight, I want to take it a second and take it back to the Dark Knight.
Okay.
Show everybody the picture here. This is what Chris Burgett sent me.
Oh, for God's sakes.
The Jimmy Death Knight signal.
Oh, for God's sakes.
A possible version of it.
I'm all right. I'm okay with the silhouette, but the tongues were over the line.
Oh, it disappeared.
Well, how else are you going to clean them?
Yeah.
There are plenty of ways.
Yeah. What, are you going to use a wet rag? You going to use soap and water? Get out of here. Well, the softest, warmest, most comfortable ways.
Cleaning supplies are in short supply these days, so it's economical.
Yeah. Okay, sorry. Back to the Moon Knight.
You guys are terrible.
Yes, I did see the news about the Moon Knight, Chuck.
Yes, Moon Knight is coming to Disney Plus, and Oscar Isaac, Poe Dameron, has been tapped to play Moon Knight.
Is it official, or are they still in discussions?
They say that he's in talks to join Disney Plus's Moon Knight. I guess a couple of other people have been considered, but he's the guy that they actually were like, hey, if you want it, it's yours.
Cool. So tell me more. I don't know. Other than Moon Knight's X-Men card or trading card, I don't know much about Moon Knight.
Picture Batman with mental problems.
Okay, mentally ill Batman.
Not that Batman doesn't already have mental problems,
yes.
But picture Batman with like a multiple personality disorder.
Okay, so schizophrenic Batman.
Essentially got Moon Knight, yep.
Okay. So it is like some days he thinks he's a good Moon Knight, some days he thinks he's a bad Moon Knight.
It's just that he's got kind of three or four voices in his head at any given time, kind
some
of like pulling him in different directions.
Some are like, no, don't kill him.
Sure.
Some are like, who cares?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is always always puts him on the edge of being a hero. That's why like it's weird that he actually counts as an Avenger.
Yeah.
So he kind of dances the line of hero / anti-hero.
It's like a less cuddly Deadpool.
You never quite know. Yeah, pretty much a less cuddly Deadpool is pretty accurate.
Speaking of being like Batman, so does he have like gadgets or does he have powers?
Mostly he's faster and stronger than the average person.
More human than
human. He gets his powers from a Egyptian god called Khonshu.
Okay.
Be careful with that name.
Yes.
Step lightly.
Yes.
Either you're saying a very bad turn or you're sneezing.
No.
Or both.
However, he does have like some Batarang, some Moon Knight.
So there he does have some gadgets.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he's more a gadget.
He's like a Swiss Army knife for Marvel. Kind of.
Okay. Yeah, kind of. It's definitely going to be one of those kind of weird shows. Which, speaking of weird shows, they just released Hellstrom over on Hulu. Mm-hmm. It's a Marvel show based on Damien Hellstrom, the son of Satan.
Okay.
That exists in the Marvel universe. And I've been seeing great things about it. I haven't watched any of it yet.
Well, you know I haven't.
But I keep seeing it, especially with the Halloween season.
This is the first time I've even heard that name uttered.
It's not really a part of my repertoire, but like I saw the name and it sounded familiar to me, so that it puts it in some context for
Hellstrom?
Me.
Hellstrom?
Yeah.
Sounds like a heavy metal band that Al would listen to.
It does, doesn't it?
Hey, James, you heard the new Hellstroms? I'm like, no, Al, I don't.
New Hellstroms?
It's way too heavy for me, man.
Well, let's move on to the video games. There's
it's heavy with banjos.
There's a new costume coming to Fall Guys. Heavy with banjos. Now I kind of want to hear that.
Yeah.
Distorted banjos.
Yeah.
There's a new costume coming to Fall Guys on November 3rd. It's going to be an in-game costume, and it's a Godzilla costume.
Are you kidding me right now?
You can be Godzilla.
Take my money. Damn it, Fall Guys. You
got
me.
Look at that.
You got me, Fall Guys.
A little Godzilla costume. He even has a little car that you can smash.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah.
I thought you could say Sonic. I was like, I thought they already had a Sonic one.
I know. There's one that absolutely looks like a Sonic the Hedgehog costume.
And it might actually be Sonic, because I think they partnered up with Sega Genesis for like the 60-year anniversary.
Yeah.
And they had people in really bad Sonic costumes streaming Fall Guys, I think, on the Sega Twitch channel or something like that. But
I do like this in the Twitch channel. I knew Godzilla was going to show up in 2020.
Yeah, well, there you go. Also, as far as video games are concerned, I haven't been real in on the second round of characters that they're adding to Super Smash Brothers. But a couple of weeks ago, they added Steve from
Minecraft
to Super Smash Brothers. Did you see that they had to patch it because...
Mm-hmm. Al, can you guess what Steve from Minecraft had hanging out on his congratulatory win screen?
Did he have a shredder out?
No.
Keep trying. One more guess? Yeah.
I don't know.
What's the worst thing you could probably have hanging out on a kid's game?
This is Donger.
His meat. His meat was hanging out.
His meat. So when you play Minecraft, one of the things you can do is when you kill an animal, they will drop meat that you can then cook and eat. So, of course, the Steve in the game has, he's got the pickaxe that he can fight with and the sword. But then at the very end, if you got first place, they would show Steve and he would be holding a piece of meat, but he would be holding it because his arms are very short and they would be down by his sides.
Oh, no.
And the camera was coming up at him. Oh, so the meat looked like it was his penis.
It's like he's flashing his wiener at you.
He's flashing his wiener. When
I'm
the
winner. Look at my meat. I'm looking at my meat in your face. Minecraft Steve won the match. Suck on that, princess.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Yeah. So they had to patch that. They had to get rid of that. That was no good. Also, you get ready for the drop here, Al Beck. A game that Robbie, my nemesis, was looking forward to.
No!
Thank you very much. Cyberpunk 2077, unfortunately delayed until December.
How tragic. For some.
Yeah,
not
well,
for others.
Look, I've been there. I've waited for a New Mutants movie for 2 years, so I ain't laughing at him about having to wait another 3 weeks to play a Cyberpunk game.
I think it's funny. I can't wait to ridicule him.
Why do I get the crickets?
No, that's for Robbie.
Oh, all right. But it was supposed to be released on November 19th. Now it's been pushed back to December, about 3 weeks. So that's for everybody that's looking forward to Cyberpunk. I think it's cool that they're kind of waiting until they want to make sure that it's not going to release and have just like tons of bugs in it.
Yeah,
just
I get
an absolute
it.
Disaster.
You probably want them to wait and make sure they're putting out a quality product instead of like, was it Fallout 76? Like,
yeah.
They launched that and that was a complete disaster.
Yeah. Well, and then sometimes they hold back a game so they can get horse balls correct. So yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
Well, I love staring at them when I do play that game. I'm like, those horse balls are immaculate. Thank
testicle
goodness. Rockstar, the games put in the time, energy, and detail to get those horse nuts dangling just the right way.
It's a very testicle-focused show today.
Yeah. It's testing the testes.
This is how we're trying to spook you on Halloween weekend, yeah. By talking about testicles a lot on Nerd Radio. Well, I got one more topic to get to as far as Nerd Radio is concerned, and that's professional wrestling. This past week we had Hell in a Cell. I'm sure
shocking.
You checked it out.
Shocking results from Hell in a Cell this week.
It was pretty interesting.
I feel.
Yeah.
I did not see some of those matches. I did not see, hopefully there's no spoilers here, but anyways, I did not see the Tucker heel turn.
No.
Turning on Otis.
No, that was.
The Miz, the Money in the Bank briefcase, which breaks my heart because I love Otis.
Yeah.
I love Otis. I want to see him have some success, and now The Miz has the Money in the Bank briefcase, and I don't like that.
Yeah.
I was quite upset by that.
Also, getting into that, I couldn't believe they opened with the Jey Uso-Roman Reigns match.
Yeah, because
I felt like that was going to have the most emotional impact, so I thought that was just going to be the main event.
I feel they opened with that one because that was, like, to me, the weakest match in the Hell in the Cell.
Okay.
I know there might have been some great storytelling behind it or whatever, but to me, you're in Hell in the Cell. You have to do more than a couple of spears and a couple of splashes to gain my attention.
Okay.
So I thought the match was kind of boring.
You were looking for him to climb up on top of the cell.
I want to see some crazy stunts. They got the two huge guys, Roman Reigns and Uso. Let's do some crazy stuff. Come on, Uso. You're jumping off the top turnbuckle. Jump off something big and tall in Hell in the Cell. Do something to impress me. You know, earn your spot at the table as the tribal leader or whatever. And then Roman, you know, a couple of spears, and then Roman Reigns. I don't want to do this to you. I don't want to do this to you. I'm going to smash you with the stare.
It's always fascinating.
Boring.
It's always fascinating to me when I talk about to all my different friends about wrestling because everyone's into wrestling for something different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like there are people. I'm definitely in the crowd of like, man, that was emotional and that was a ride. That was really cool. But it did not.
Me, I'm like, I want to see cool shit, man. Do some cool shit. That's what I want to see.
James
I don't
wants to
care about the story.
James wants to see a murder.
I'd be right.
I don't want to see a murder. But,
they had the last match was Randy Orton and Drew McIntyre, and they got up on top of the cell.
Yeah.
And I was like, you are not. No one's fallen off that cell for an empty arena.
No. Plus, you've seen how reinforced that cell was.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Like triple beams going across everything. They're making sure nobody's falling through. But yeah, no, I want to watch the cool stuff, like the stories or whatever. I want to see crazy stunts. I'm into wrestling for the live action stunts.
Yeah.
Tell me the opponent's from Mars. I'm probably going to buy into it, but okay. This guy's a Martian.
James is like, we made it!
Yeah, but guess what? You better make his ass. Yeah.
You better make his ass float. Tie him to some ropes. Better ropes than what Owen Wilson, not Owen Wilson, Owen Hart was tied to.
Right.
Because we don't want another one of those. But you make him fly. You tell me he's from Mars, I'm in on the story. But now I want to see crazy Martian stunts in the ring.
So you like The Fiend then?
I do love The Fiend.
What do you think of what they're... Because they had their draft where they moved people from one show to another. And they moved both The Fiend and Alexa Bliss, who's been under the influence of The Fiend. Essentially turned into his Harley Quinn.
Yeah. I think it's cool. I think it's fun. I mean, I like Alexa Bliss. I like The Fiend together. I think they're okay. I'm not like... dying to see more about what The Fiend and Alexa Bliss are going to do. But I don't kind of feel like you don't see Alexa Bliss in the ring. So I'm wondering, is she injured? Is she not able to participate? So here's a way to keep her involved in the storyline, you know, but in a different way. And I think it was weird how they launched that off with, like, it almost seemed like her and Braun Strowman had like a thing. I don't know.
Right.
Were they dating in the past? Were they a couple? You know, the way she's like, you're not the Braun Strowman I used to know.
A couple of years ago when they did the mixed match challenge on Facebook, they were a tag team because he is huge and she is like,
yeah, it's the perfect polar opposites, you know, right, to put together on a team. So, but I enjoy it. I think it's good, you know, and I love I'm glad they don't bring The Fiend out and everything turns red, and I'm glad they don't do that anymore.
Thank goodness they stopped doing that.
There's a lot about The Fiend that I like. Like, just the creepy, weird character with the head lantern. And
he's got the kind of the Joker mask that's going on.
Yeah, there's a lot about The Fiend that attracts me to him.
He's finally come into his own as like this generation's Undertaker.
Yeah.
Like, he's got all the spookiness of like the lights go out and then they come back and he's behind you and... All the craziness, or he's on the screen, but then he'll pop up once again behind somebody or come out from underneath the ring.
Mm-hmm. Hashtag not my taker.
Not Al's taker. And Chris Berg in the Twitch chat brings up a point. Like, Sasha and Bayley stole the show. I agree with that statement. I thought that match,
you thought
was
that was
great.
A good match?
Yeah. Very entertaining match. I'm happy with the results.
Yeah.
I thought they put on a good show. And I mean, in my book, great story.
Yeah. Well, somebody I know you are a huge fan of is Mr. John Cena. Of course, this past year at WrestleMania, he fought The Fiend in a match that was kind of puzzling.
I didn't understand. It was like a Tarantino acid trip art house flick.
Man, right.
What's going on here?
Have you read what the original plan for John Cena was at WrestleMania 36?
No. Is it something way more epic than what ended up being?
I think
I'm still bummed out that he was going to be in Detroit. Was it either SmackDown or Monday Night Raw?
Yeah.
Right before everything got canceled due to COVID.
Yep.
Leading up to a WrestleMania appearance, and we had front row seats. So I know I would have been able to make John Cena acknowledge my existence.
Right.
And then COVID blew that away like gold dust.
Well, according to a Sports Illustrated interview, Elias was going to be John Cena's opponent.
Oh,
at
my
WrestleMania
God.
36.
Both my signs would have had a purpose. I got an Elias likes the guitar. I'm a Cena sexual. I could have held them both up at the same time.
Elias did an interview because he just returned to WWE television program.
Ass guitar again.
Which I am absolutely appreciating the amount of guitar shots him and Jeff Hardy have been going back and forth with.
Yeah, I
love
shot.
It. It makes me laugh every time somebody gets blasted with a guitar. Elias telling Sports Illustrated that it was a lead up to basically a 3-year story where a couple of years ago he got the FU or the attitude adjustment from John Cena at WrestleMania, and they were going to kind of cap that off with him facing John Cena at a WrestleMania in a match. And
really?
And then COVID happened, and they went in a different direction.
So COVID is what changed him to just do it with Cena against The Fiend?
Well, according to Elias, that was that's what was going to happen.
I don't believe a word Elias says. I think this is Elias just trying to get some headlines and trying to make his name bigger in the WWE and getting attention that way. I bet you there was no plans for Cena to go up against Elias. Because I'm sorry, if you're going to go, if I had to pick a card, John Cena versus Elias, John Cena versus The Fiend, I'm going The Fiend.
Yeah.
But now if you put in the little asterisk, like it's going to be not a real match, it's going to be a weird psychological art house flick.
Right.
Then I'm going to go John Cena, Elias.
Yeah, I would have felt that John Cena versus Elias in a regular match with the crowd and everything like that is that's James' match right there.
Yeah.
It's a guy that he absolutely
loves
to see
somebody
beat
that
up.
He hates. Yeah, it's a match made in heaven. But I would love to see Cena take on The Fiend in the ring, like real deal wrestling, like when The Fiend came out and would wrestle Daniel Bryan and actually wrestled. Instead of those weird, like,
staged
matches. I got one last question for you, and then we'll wrap up this week's Nerd Radio. In both cases, who wins?
John Cena.
In both cases?
He better.
Okay.
Yeah.
How pissed would you be if Elias beat John Cena at WrestleMania?
Oh, my God. I'd be pretty upset. I would probably lose some sleep that night.
Because I feel like John Cena versus The Fiend should win. But John Cena versus Elias, John Cena's got to win that. Come on.
Yeah. Like, if John Cena can't beat Elias, then who am I rooting for?
Right. All right, well, that's going to wrap up this week's Nerd Radio. Thank you guys on Twitch for stopping by, and thank you for downloading the episode, if that's, in fact, how you've listened to this. Make sure you're following us on social media, Nerd Radio 101. James, you got anything you want to plug or you want to say before we take off? Plug your Twitch stream.
Oh, sure. I'll be playing some Warzone later today, the zombie version of Warzone, this afternoon around 3 o'clock, twitch.tv/whoThefSJC. Come check it out.
Yeah, and how's the Manthong Throwdown stuff going?
Manthong Throwdown's doing good. We are halfway through. This Friday will be the midway point. We'll have the fifth match under our belts. There's still plenty of time to get in on the action and get some points and possibly have a chance at winning the $200 grand prize, which I feel like I'm going to be sending over to Germany.
Oh, goodness.
We have a friend from Germany who slays. We call him the Deutschland Destroyer, and he puts the
come up!
Because he is really good. he just comes in and slays everybody. So I'm probably going to be sending $200 over to Germany in about 5 weeks.
All right. Well, you can either make that happen or make it not happen by joining James over on his Twitch stream.
Come help us defeat the Germans! Fridays at 6 on my Twitch channel.
You got anything you want to plug before you leave, Al?
No.
You've been waiting for that, haven't you?
Oh, that was perfect.
All right, well, I'm going to plug my Twitch stream because as I was just telling
you. Hit affiliate, right?
I just hit affiliate this weekend, and I'm kind of pumped. I think it's because I streamed Final Fantasy XIV on Saturday as well as my Rock Band on Sunday.
You found your thing, man.
I guess.
Keep it going.
But
go to his channel and subscribe.
Yeah, find my channel on twitch.tv/Chizuk. If you haven't heard enough of me, I got other podcasts, man. We just dropped a new episode of Talk Horror to Me.
In Somerset, Al's new kitty. So I should plug.
Plug your new cat.
plug cat photos on my Instagram.
On your Instagram, yeah. you can find a new episode of the Talk Horror to Me podcast for Halloween. And you can find a very funny episode of the One Fall Show, which is just nothing but wrestling.
Nice.
And we'll be back next week with more Nerd Radio. Thanks, guys.
I'm in a difficult situation here. I mean, after all, you're nerds.
Have a great weekend.
See you later, nerds.
The future's stupid, guys. I'm sorry, but it is.
I have spoken.
All right.
I came in with one piece of show prep today, and I blew it right at the beginning of
the
show.
Right at the top, yeah, because you wanted to leave early.
Well, good. I'll keep my little show prep nugget in my pocket.
keep your nuggets in your pants over there.
You know, right?
Don't tell me how to live my life. If I want to live my life nuggets out, I will, Elbeck. There ain't nothing you can do about it. Nuggets out, baby.
James and his spicy nugs.
Very spicy.
Been wearing Shredder's codpiece.
Hovering over the play button on the production for like 60 seconds now.
Take it away,
like, I'm going to let him keep going. This is funny. But
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.